the age of 17, my grandfather had a little name for me. He used to call me Mr. Talk a Lot Goodell. You know, and over the years of through my in and out outside the rooms, I finally managed to get a little time together, and today I kind of like do a lot and remain humble about what I did. You know, and if my grandfather could see me today, you know what I mean? Like Thursday, I was in a speaking in front of a meeting into, H&I meeting into a treatment facility for about 60, 70 people. Friday, I did a all-day seminar for the job in front of about 50 people or so. Today, here I'm sitting in front of asked to lead a meeting in a convention. This is not me. You know what I mean? It was never me. You know what I mean? I'm the guy that's out there running the streets trying to get one, find one. When they said 1,000, right, when they had to talk about that 1,000 never being enough, I was trying to prove y'all wrong, you know? I figured my goal was to get one, go all the way back home, which is about 60 miles, because I drove from Gaithersburg to Baltimore to go get one. Once I got home, I figured that I'd take my keys and my ATM card, hide them. You know what I mean? And if I do find them, because the only place I know where to go use was 60 miles away, right? I wasn't going to go. Well, you know, I bought a car, you know what I mean? It was like a 19, bought a brand new car. In 2 years, I put 92,000 miles on it. You know what I mean? Results are all the same, unmanageability, you know? Whenever I think about H&I, of course, I think about service. And whenever I think about service, I think about traditions. You know, it's the rules. My sponsor told me a long time ago, you know what I mean, nothing changes, nothing changes. And if you want something different, you got to do something different. And that actually means, to me, actions, which I'm, like I told you earlier, my grandfather had a little name for me. I did pretty much talked a whole bunch of stuff and did nothing. And today I kind of like turn the thinking, right, over to him so I can go ahead and do the necessary things to stay clean one day at a time. And one of those things he got me involved with right off the bat was commit myself to service. Because I am such a self-centered guy, right, he told me a long time ago, right off the bat too, that because I am a self-centered guy, how do I combat self-centeredness is by serving others, just flip it around. You know, and it seems to have worked, you know, for me, that is, you know. I got here, right, at the end of the road there, pretty much about 6-7 years ago, when I not being introduced to the rooms yet. I broke up from out of a 20 years of a marriage. I had two kids that were about five or 6 years old. I think the gas was off, the water was off, rent was 3 months late, you know, and I was still trying to figure out if I could do it just one more time, you know. And, you know, I heard this guy, one guy shared, and he spoke about the self-centeredness of this disease and stuff, and how I would not even look at that stuff. I minimized that stuff, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? It's like I couldn't see my powerlessness over this, my addiction and stuff like that. And, eventually I reached my bottom. I ran into a sponsor who had, like I said, committed me to service right off the bat. And I started off by going into H&I, detention center and treatment facility. And that's where I got the message, when I first heard the message of recovery. And that's where the seed, for most people, I would say at least 50% or more, the seed of recovery is planted, and that's where it starts at. And now that I have had been able to manage some time, put some time together, not a whole lot, but just enough to, the fog has been lifted a little bit. How's that? who am I to not want to give it back? You know what I mean? The same way that I got it. And so what I do is just keep showing up and doing the right best thing, which is service, commit myself to service. And a lot of it is in H&I. By me sitting there, I get a lot more. There's a lot more that I get out of it. But then I think sometimes the people in treatment get out of it. Because while I'm sitting there and I'm bringing someone into that meeting, I seem to get this feeling that comes across me. Like, I don't know, you see someone coming off that heroin or crack, and their life is completely confused, and detox, and they're going through their process, all the pain, and they're seeing that they're looking behind and seeing all the chaos and stuff that's been created, just like I did when I was in treatment. And you know, I sit across there and I just think about how grateful I am today. You know what I mean? The gratitude that I have today, just for being able to have someone that stayed. That came up to those treatment facilities, took the time out, and committed themselves to service to do behind-the-scenes type work and bring in a message that gave me a little hope that there was a way out. You see, because I had no clue anything about any AA, NA, none of that stuff, you know. But when I did start going to meetings in my treatment facility, I started noticing that these people were all pretty much like me. They were like little tiny reflections of me when I was in the treatment facility. And even though I didn't like a lot, they still shared the same thing that I had, which is this disease, right? Some personalities were a little bit more profound than others in different areas, but all of them still was tiny reflections of me. And at that point, listening to the message of recovery, I start to understand the message, this disease and how cunning and baffling it is, and what the different personalities that it has or could bring me into. Thinking like when I initially got here, also my grand sponsor, one of the things he noticed in me is that I had a pride problem, you know, I mean, a little small ego pride thing going on. And he had me look up the word pride, and then he let me look up the word false, right? One being pride meaning head of the class, and false meaning not true. I think he had a little message there for me, right? So once I actually looked those words up and were able to look at them truly for what they were, you know what I mean? Am I the head of class? Am I thinking and all that? I immediately, of course, went with the other piece of that, which was not true. And I was able to lift that part of that mask off, and then my recovery process immediately started from that point, which is, I think it was like 30 days, maybe out of the treatment facility. I was safe when I was in the treatment facility, but when I got out, you know, thank God I had a sponsor before I even went in, so that he was able to identify those things that would prevent me from actually being committed to this program 100%, and service is my way out. Along with, of course, with the steps and the traditions, but when I'm committed, when I'm service is a way of not only committing me to this program, but it also puts me, it links me, or make me as, I've got a good way of explaining this here. There's a house being built, right? And in this house, there's carpenters that are actually building this house, right? And then you got the people that come, and then you have these people that come in and leave, and those are the visitors and stuff. I used to be a visitor that used to come in inside this house and leave the house when the meeting was over, right? Today, I'm one of those carpenters that come together, right, all cook together and start to build that house. And those are the people that are committed to the program. The people that are committed to the programs are the ones that are committed to the service work. And that's me now. I used to be a guy that would walk in, right, 15 minutes late and leave 15 minutes early, right? Today I'm the guy that actually, I'm out here in front of a whole bunch of folks, nervous as crap, doing committed service work. You know what I mean? Now, like I said, that's not me. I also learned about service work by doing service work that, like earlier on in, my sponsor also had me learn not only the steps, but he also had me learn the traditions. And one of the things that I've gotten from out of, the only way that I was able to learn about the traditions is not only through him, but also through doing that service work. It's like the rules that I had to abide by. And I'm not one of those guys that would normally abide by rules, because when I went out there to do my thing, it was pretty much my way, put it like that. And It talks the first edition. It pretty much, this is not a tradition meeting, but it's the first tradition talks about this unity and how our personal recovery depends on it and stuff like that. When I talked about that house as being built, those are the people that are all coming together to form that one common thing to build that house, right? And they're all coming together to do this one thing in common to build this house and stuff like that so that we can continue to move forward with our process of recovery. And ever since I've been in it, you know what I mean? It seems like, I don't know, I tend to be losing on a daily basis a part, I don't want to say a part of me, but a part of the disease that keeps me obsessed and repeating the same old thing, the process of wanting to go back and use or being caught up into self-centeredness, you know. My life has completely changed, man, completely changed. I don't know, that's all I have pretty much there as far as the H&I, but it has worked, and I thank God for H&I for having those people come up to that treatment facility and be able to deliver the message of recovery for me. And thank God for my sponsor, who is completely committed to H&I and to service work. I don't know, it seemed like it was it was kind of made for me. Me and him was kind of made for each other. Like I said, I was never would think about committing myself to a program that would have me working in the backgrounds where, you know, of course, not being seen and all. But that does so much for me, you know what I mean? Once again, my name is John, and I'm an addict. And thanks for letting me out.
I was getting comfortable. I'm Kay, I'm still an addict. And for our second speaker, we give you Cassie W.
Hi, family. I'm Cassie, and I'm an addict. And, of course, it's real good being here, being anywhere clean, you know, and I always like to share that because it feels so good today just being clean, you know. This workshop is about service, y'all, in case y'all might be sitting in here don't know what it's about. And it's an H&I workshop, and H&I truly, for me, is about service. You know, a little slogan last year, a couple years ago, we were trying to think of something to come up with about to put on a T-shirt. And the only thing that I could think of, we never did put it on a T-shirt, but I often say it in my mind, and that's without H&I, many would die. And that's truly, truly a belief of mine, you know, because H&I is the frontline introduction to Narcotics Anonymous. H&I is the first folks that I saw when I first was introduced to this program. You know, folks would, and H&I is not really a glamour job. You know, it's not really glamorous service work. We go into the detoxes, and we all know in detox, you know, we still can, we don't smell too good. We just coming up off the pan, out the pan, some of us, you know. And we go into jails, got to be patted down and searched like we in the jail. But yet and still, a very important work for me, you know. I came to H&I, and when I was in treatment, H&I, they came and they shared, and that was, like I said, that was my introduction to the program of Narcotics Anonymous, and they sound real good, and I listened to them, and I watched them, but yet and still, because of, I'm too, John, that self-centeredness, you know, and my mother, your grandmother, but my mother was my first sponsor, and she would say to me, Cassie, the whole world don't revolve around you, honey. There's other things going on besides Cassie. You know, but they would come in and I would say, yeah, you know, it's good. And like I said, I've been to many treatment centers, and I would hear them come in, and they would talk. But I would always say, I just ain't that bad. I mean, y'all sounding good and everything, but uh-uh. You know, it's about me. I just got a little problem here. And actually, it wasn't until I came out that and came into the fellowship and started to do things that I really found the meaning of what this was all about. You know, I've been in H&I for a long time. You know, in September I have 8 years clean, and I started H&I when I had 30 days. And I came in H&I following a good buddy. You know, on the street I had a Walkman. I don't know, John, but this is somebody that you did everything with, you cop with, y'all got y'all money together with, you know, y'all did hustles with or whatever you did. And she came in about a year before me, and I followed her. And she was going to this H&I meeting. And sure enough, I went there. And I didn't even have enough time yet to do anything. But just be there. I just had 30 days. But I can remember so distinctively. And I belong to the D.C. area, H&I. And at the time, their requirements were you had to have 9 months clean and, you know, desire, that kind of thing. And so I sat there and I did everything I was supposed to do, 30 days clean. Y'all, I was so happy to raise my hand and say, I got 9 months and three weeks and 2 days. And they said, okay, Cass, you ready. Then somebody said, maybe you ain't so ready. You know? And I had to sit and I had to think about that. Because maybe I wasn't. You know, maybe I wasn't ready. Maybe I thought, you know, I had to check myself, and I had a great sponsor who would always say, you know, are you really committed? Because I'm a show-off, too. You know, I like to be seen. And, you know, here I go, and I'm going to talk to y'all. I'm going to tell y'all something. I'll tell y'all something because I know some stuff now. 9 months, I know a whole lot of stuff, and I'm going to teach y'all everything about Narcotics Anonymous. But we do know, y'all, that Narcotics Anonymous is a program of recovery for those that suffer with a disease of addiction. And the disease of addiction, my disease of addiction, told me a whole lot of stuff. But thank God for people that was here before me that wasn't nowhere near as crazy as I was to say, okay, Cass, maybe you don't, honey, and she was soft smoke, honey, maybe you don't know enough yet. Maybe you should just sit down and wait a minute. And I did, and I was happy I did. You know, I was glad I did, and I was thankful I did because I began to listen. And I began to learn what service is all about. I began to learn what H&I is all about. Hospitals and institutions, for those that don't know what H&I stands for. And that's a subcommittee within the program. This one subcommittee within the program that we go out and share with others our experiences, our strengths, and our hopes. And going out doing this, it always gets me in touch with just some gratitude. I can remember so distinctively that person in a treatment center, and I've been to like 7 detoxes, you know, like 4, you know, 30-day programs and that kind of thing. But I can remember sitting there, not saying anything, scared to death, you know, not wanting anybody to know. Because once again, I just wasn't that bad. I was just sitting there. But I don't care. When I got out and the message that I heard was the message of Narcotics Anonymous. And I hope, and I know today because I listen, and y'all taught me some things. And that was to take the message always of Narcotics Anonymous. And that message is hope. Sitting in treatment, I know I felt I had no hope. I felt that I would die having to use. And I kept hearing y'all say, hope. Our message is hope. It's a hope that you, as an addict, don't have to live the way you continue to live. And I continue to live and do my thing for over 27 years. And that was the best thing that I ever heard, was that I didn't have to live like that no more. I didn't have to do it. H&I is a committed part of service work, and it comes in all forms, you know, and I try to use that in all forms, in all ways, not only just carrying a meeting to a treatment center, but if somebody asks me to share, and you may not be on an H&I, particular area H&I, you know, but maybe if somebody come up and ask you if you want to come to a treatment center to share. I believe that that's also a part of service. They told me that in order to keep it, y'all know it, we got to give it back. We got to give it away. Y'all, I came in here, and nobody turned around at me as cruddy as I was. I ain't look as beautiful as I do now. You know what I'm saying? But nobody said, get away. Y'all hugged me and told me to keep coming back. Guess what else y'all did? Y'all fed me. Y'all ain't give me no money because y'all knew better than me not to give no money. You know? But you would tell me things like, come on and eat. Come on and go with us to eat. Come on, let's go to a meeting. If you get to a meeting, I'll take you home. And I don't forget that today. And that's the commitment that I have to this program, as well as to H&I and my area H&I. I'm in a D.C. area, is one of the largest H&Is, and we, you know, unlike a lot of areas, we have a lot of meetings. But you know what? We have a lot of dedicated people. And not dedicated, I don't like that word. The Narcotics Anonymous word is committed people. And we commit. And they taught me how to go in there and look at folks in that detox and know and see myself and know how tender they are, how needy they are, how they need to just see a friendly face. I don't make it a habit, because y'all didn't do it to me. I don't make it a habit of going in the detoxes or jails or anywhere else, you know, just throwing on something and running. I don't dress up or put no suit, because that's not what it's all about. But I want people to know that we're doing better today. I want them to know that Narcotics Anonymous is about, hey, washing your face today. It's about we can laugh today. And that was, oh, such a thing that I could not do. I didn't think nothing was funny. And I came in here, and y'all was laughing and hugging and having a good time. And I said, they are sick. Something is wrong with them, and they in some kind of cult. But y'all know today, and y'all know what I'm talking about, ain't nothing like a hug. Ain't nothing like a hug. But I had to learn how to receive that hug. And I go there and I see these folks in this detox, and I'm looking at me. Every time I go in, I'm looking at me. And I'm looking at where they at and how they scared to death. You know? And like all they just need is a little bit of hope. And how the counselors and the psychiatrists, you know, because it's a big business. Let's face it. You know, they get a lot of money in these treatment centers for one person. You know, a whole bunch of money, and it's a big business. But they'll tell you when you go in, I know they told me, that only one person out of maybe 50 or 75 will actually come out and stay clean. Those odds just ain't too good. And H&I and what they taught us, if we could just reach one person, if we can just tell our story, if we can just tell things that happened to us, then maybe somebody will hear it and have the hope that they can live clean too, as we do. We got a little pamphlet around, a little IP, and it's an IP information pamphlet, and it says in there about how we ask ourselves that most important question. Do we want to use anymore? Are we through? Do we want to still use drugs? And I pose that question a lot of times in detox, because what it does is it makes me remember and think, do I want to use drugs anymore? No. And that comes from just looking at my past. Drugs never did anything good for me but take me down, 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 and further down. And the hope and the lifting up is that anybody can do it. You may be sitting here now. You may be sitting in that jail. You may be sitting in that treatment center. You may be sitting in that halfway house. And just a little statistics, over 90-some people in our jails, especially D.C. jails, are in there on a drug-related crime. So we've got a lot of folks that need this thing. Y'all also tell us about, hey, it ain't for those who need it, it's about those who want it. But the commitment for H&I is that, hey, we're going to introduce you to it. And if you want it, we're going to help you get there and get it. You know, I ain't going to talk a long time because I'm looking around the room and there's a lot of H&I folks in here. How much time we got?
We got some more time.
It's a lot of H&I folks, so, you know, and this is a workshop. And so I'm going to stop right now and I'm going to ask folks to just come up and share. Thank you for letting me share. I'm Cassie.
My name is Dwight, and I'm an addict.
Hey, Dwight.
And I was around when Cassie, and she was starting to tell her story about when she came in on them 30 days and how gung-ho she was. I started H&I subcommittee when I had 5 months clean and had a great 8-year run with it. I went to VA, Vinata program, and H&I was there every day. And while I was there, someone told me that just keep coming back and you'll hear something. And I did. And that's what got me started on this road to recovery. I had a sponsor that was part of H&I. And following his footsteps, I went in. Eventually, my sponsor left, but I stayed. I stayed. It was the most rewarding thing I've done in the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. Because if you can get just one person to change their life around, it's the greatest thing that can happen to you. Thanks for letting me share.
I'm Doshi Namadofing.
Hey, Doshi.
And next week I have 3 years. And we're kind of like in the same network. I'm a part of her network, so we be together all the time. And since the very beginning, since the very day I stepped in NA, I've been a part of H&I. I enjoy it. I mean, it's just a joy to be able to go and tell your story and explain to the ones that is incarcerated or whatever position they're in, and let them know what we're all about. You know, it's a real rewarding thing to just be able to, like Dwight said, just get one somebody. You know, and our network, where we come from in D.C., we like, as soon as you become sponsee, you got to be a part of H&I. That's just what we do. I had no idea I was even involved in H&I. My sponsor also will have 21 years next week. And she's been in H&I since day one, so we just committed souls. Just keep coming back and get involved. It's a great thing to do. It really is. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing.
Hi, fam. My name is Rudy. I'm an addict.
Hey, Rudy.
I'm from the Manhattan area of New York for H&I. And I love H&I because I could not stop using. And every time I went to that rehab, H&I was there. And I sat in the back, made my way to the middle, then to the front. And I didn't know anything about the surrender process. But now that I'm, you know, in the, I have 4 years and about 7 months clean, right? uninterrupted clean time, because in 96, I didn't know that I was trying to surrender in 96. And I found out that the trying to surrender part is going into those detoxes for Rudy. And then eventually I heard something when I left there that if you don't pick it up, you can't get high. So I sat there with them floppy slippers on after about 4 or 5 times in the rehab, and I said, you know what I'm going to do? I came out on the third step because I did some step work there, and I finally made that decision that when I got out of there, that's what I wanted to do. So I came out, and I was introduced to Area for H&I. And what I do now, I took a H&I commitment. We're trained to go in there to give the message back, and then we find out that you just share your story, man. You give them some hope that if it can work for a dope fiend guy, methadone drinking, dust smoking guy from the projects, it can work for you. And what I've also know that women recover also, so I try not to bring guys there all the time to share their experience, strength, and hope. The women recover also. And I find that H&I is we're the foot soldiers. That's what we call it up north, since I'm in Maryland today. Mm-hmm. We're the foot soldiers of bringing these cats in, into this loving thing. And then when they're finally introduced to the God of their own understanding, they'll go back. And there's nothing more rewarding than, you know, when they come out and you are actually at a meeting and they say, I remember you. I said, well, wait a minute. I didn't beat this cat, right? You know? But then they said, well, you brought me the message. And then they get that one key tag, 30 days, 60 days. I'm going to stop sharing because I love H&I. And I know that if God could save me, and then my message is to give it back. That's all. That's all I'm supposed to do. Give it back, man. That's what let me share.
Good afternoon, family. I'm a blessed day. My name's Brian. You know, I love H&I. They used to call me, I used to be H&I Bride. That was my nickname, you know. You know, I've been doing H&I for a long time. I remember my first meeting, I got dope fiending going. You know, guys, oh, you just go and show up, you know. Of course, the speaker didn't show up, so I guess we got to share. You know, and I took that, you know, I went back to that meeting a couple times. That's about 3 months. I took that commitment on, and it was 6 years. I didn't have a car. It was about 20 miles out of town. I'm from Columbus, Ohio. And, you know, I did that meeting for 6 years, you know. And then I continued to meet with some other people, you know. And then started doing a meeting down south of Columbus and Chillicothe. And me and two people, in fact, me and both the guys I came up with here today we did that meeting for about 6 years, you know. And, you know, the one thing I was sharing with somebody earlier, the thing I remember, I remember my first meeting, the guy, when he walked in, the guy just sat there. They wouldn't talk. They wouldn't say. They wouldn't shake your hand. I can remember, but you know, last meeting. Now, if I walk in the meeting, they all run up to me. They hug me. They're, you know, so glad to see me. I mean, that the progression of the 10 or 12, 15 years I was doing H&I, it's just amazing. You know, it's amazing. You know, this is a change that we can bring to these people's lives. You know, and how much you know, the hug in a prison. You know. 10, 15 years ago, you didn't do that, you know. That was manly, you know. You didn't hug, you know. And these guys do, and it's just amazing, you know. It's funny, you know, I was H&I chair for our area, you know. We put on a camp out one summer, and we made these little cups up, you know, plastic white cups, cheap things, you know. And I was at the World last year, and I was looking through all the different, you know, serious things, and this was one of our cups over there. It was just, oh man, that's so cool, you know. But I'm glad to be here, and you know, H&I forever.
Hi, everybody. My name is Albert. I'm an addict. I'm an H&I kind of guy. I just like being here, and this is one of my favorite workshops, H&I, because it meant so much to me. I mean, I can go on and on. But I will say this in all honest, on all earnest, that I didn't really join H&I because I was such a good Samaritan. I wanted to really give the message to people as much as I wanted to. I needed to learn how to deliver my story, tell my experience, strength, and hope. Without storytelling, but still tell my experience, strength, and hope, and the things that I went through. I didn't go up in there to try to convince anybody or try to promote this program. I went there because I had to tell my story. And I realized as I was there for a while that telling my story, I learned a lot of stuff about myself. And I gained a sense of responsibility, a sense of self-worth, a sense of feeling useful. Because in my last days, I lost my dignity, my sense of responsibility, sense of hygiene, and all those things that people didn't want me. But I felt like people wanted me, you know, I needed to do this. And as I did more and more, I gained that sense of commitment, which got me where I am today, you know. And I realized that people, more and more as I heard people when I was in treatment coming there, I realized it had very little to do with people having talent or how intellectual people were. They gave it to me the way they could give it to me. It had to do, when I see them keep coming back, it had to do with the determination and the commitment they seemed to have, and that helped me more than anything. Meanwhile, in doing that, I became a better person, and being the program of attraction that I think that Narcotics Anonymous is, people begin to get attracted, and they start saying, well, can I have your name? I have your number. And what happened is they seem to get something out of it. So my main objective in doing so was to promote myself and become the best person I can be. And that's what got to me when I was in treatment. I was attracted to the guys and women that came in there, and they gave their story, and they looked so pure and clean and all these things, especially those people that I had practiced with. Man, what is it? What is it they went through? You know, how could they look the way they look? How could they sound the way they sound, so positive? You know, and it just attracted me so much. But I realized that H&I did so much to me, helped me in a sense where I was going to an institution. There may have been 200 people in the institution. And they were talking in the back, and all these things went on, and I was distracted at first, but as I shared it in my home groups when I came back, they said, well, I understood people were saying, keep going on, don't let that distract you or divert you away from what your mission is, and keep doing it, stick to it, and I kept sticking to it, and pretty soon, people seemed to understand that what gets people more than anything, what got me more than anything, was the determination and the persistency and the stick-to-itness, you know. So pretty soon after the institutions were seeing me, the guys in the institutions were seeing me coming down regularly, I guess they got to a point and said, man, that guy is nothing but the truth. He's for real, you know. So they start coming in, looking forward to it, and in the 12 or 13 years that I was going to H&I, I never missed a weekly meeting, never. And I would go down to the institution when it was snowing, it might have been a holiday, and I'd be there, and the correctional officers down there would say, man, what makes you come down here like this, all this snow on the ground, or it's a holiday? My officers don't even come down here. I said, well, the difference between them is monetary. With me, it's a matter of life and death. You know, and I would keep coming back down and keep coming back down. And the transference of that was so great because they'd speak out. I didn't confront them. It wasn't a thing where I was trying to prove to them or get them to convince them. They would speak out against it, and I still stick to my experience, strength, and hope. Ain't no air in that. When I'm sharing my experience, strength, and hope. But there is some air in the fact if I go and try to tell them this is the way that they should do something, or I'm speaking the third person single, or telling them you should do this and this is what you should do. The same preaching that I got that I turned down, I resisted so long. So I had to go in there and learn how to keep telling stick to my experience, strength, and hope. And what I learned is that as I was telling my experience, strength, and hope, I was unraveling some dishonesty and getting more honest with myself so I could be a better person. You know, as I got better, the whole institution got better from my eyesight. And whether or not they changed, that was one thing. But it was like peeling an onion. As I shared my experience, strength, and hope, there was a layer of onion peelings, you know, coming off. Honesty, recovery, discovery, discovered things about myself. The more I shared it until I got to the point where, I brought speakers down there. When a speaker didn't show up, the humility that I had to damn, they don't want to hear me again. In 12 years, you can imagine, a lot of times speakers just don't show up. And I would be mad at the speakers, and I would get judgmental and say, well, that person's not grateful. You know what I'm saying? They ungrateful. They got this recovery free, and they ungrateful. But what I found out is people experience and pursue gratitude the way they need to pursue it, not the way, in my self-centered way, that I think they should pursue it. You know, and I learned a lot of acceptance from the institution down there, from the people that I was taking, and just had to deal with my control issues, and it helped me so much. And that's what this thing is about, attraction, not promotion. Not promotion. I can't say that enough. And it helped me because I had those control issues when I came in because I'm not using the drugs. I'm not drinking now. So what do I try to do? Control people. Use people to control, to escape, and feel better about myself. So I really, after a while going down, I felt that, look, make myself the best person I can see. People have a real, some innate abilities to know when you're for real. You know, when you just doing something, perpetrating or faking, people have that, especially users, you know, addicts. They can tell when you're for real and you're not just down there because you're joining a bandwagon or whatever. But let's be the person that God made me to be, and things seem to have worked out for me. And here today I'm here and listening to the people sharing on H&I. And it's the most beautiful workshop that I can tell you about. And thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm an addict named Steve.
Wrong one.
Addict named Steve. Okay. Yeah, if you want to find committed people, come to the H&I workshop. Because like I heard John say, it's not glamour. It's about selfless service. But I wish I could say it was like that for me in the beginning. In the beginning, I did H&I for all the wrong reasons. I'm going to go in that treatment center, and I'm going to tell y'all what's up. And I had to keep coming back. H&I was a process for me. You know, I found that when I go sit and talk, I'm getting more help than I could ever give anybody that I was talking to. H&I is my life, y'all, for real. It's what keeps me connected to the fellowship. Cassie, I love you. Thank you for sharing. John, thank you for sharing. See, it's people like this who was in the treatment centers, in the jail. My first experience with H&I, I was a recipient of a meeting at Lorton, Virginia. And some of the people that's right in up here now, still going to meetings, were there, and they brought those meetings to me. And Alba was one of them. You know, and I remember looking forward to those people coming down. And you couldn't tell me those people wasn't getting paid. So after I got here, you know, and I said, well, gracious, I'm going to do some H&I. And I found out what payment is, though. I found out what payment is yesterday. Because, see, I've been doing H&I since I've been here, since January 1997, when I finally got released from Lorton. And I've been doing H&I work ever since. So I go to shelters and treatment centers. And the payoff was, yesterday, I saw a guy who I take a meeting to. And I saw this guy when he first came in, and he was broke down. You know how we look. Yesterday when I saw the guy, man, he was fat, looking fresh, glowing. That's the payment, y'all. That's why I do this, you know. That's exactly why I do this. That's my payment. I mean, it feels good to see somebody. And he, you know, not that I did, so he said, I told him, go to men's rap. That's all I told him. And the guy said, that helped me. You won't believe it. So it ain't, you got to do nothing real profound. Albert just said it. Just tell your story. Tell the truth. And you'll be surprised at the results. Thanks for letting me share.
I'm James. I'm an addict.
Hey, James.
From Frederick. I'm H&I chair. You know, I love hearing her. You know, 30 days clean, I got into service work. You know, and I do believe that, like, God has a purpose for us people that do service work. You know, because everybody's not dedicated to it, you know. And since I've been doing service work, it has kept me clean. I've been doing it for 5 years, and I got 5 years clean, you know. And I truly know, there's no doubt in my mind, without me doing service work, I don't think I probably would have stayed clean because I took something serious for the first time in my life than going on the corner to try a cop. You know, like that fourth Sunday that I had to go to this treatment center, I look forward to the fourth Sunday. You can't stop me. And it's like my commitment fell on holidays every year. So I had to make a decision. Like, do I want to go home or am I going there first? My family had to wait. That's when I knew that, like, you know, there's a blessing in that, you know, and the blessing is I'm still clean. And like Cassie said, like, you know, if I could help one person, I was in the treatment center and 50 people, I'm the only one still clean. And I've been doing service work since I got out of there 30 days. Without service work, like, for me, it was about attraction before anything else. Because I originate from Baltimore, and a guy came into the treatment center. You know what? He didn't say nothing. He was dressed good. I said, oh, man, he got that gear on. And then after he opened his mouth, and he said that at the end of his addiction, he was on Papa Grove, and he was a squeegee man. I was blown away. I wanted to know how he got that. You know, and I asked him at the end of the meeting. See, I went up to him. I said, how you get like that? He said, I stayed clean. He said, what are you coming to? I said, they sending me to Frederick because I ain't had no other choice. He said, well, when you get there, call me. He's still my best friend. He has went out a couple times, and I've been able to help him. He gave something to me, and I was able to give it back, that service.
I'm Kenny. I'm an addict. I just want to share for some of you that like are straddling the fence, not sure what to get involved with. I'm sure glad I didn't know of the statistics that one in how many. I was introduced to H&I on the 12th year of my natural life sentence at Patuxent Institution when an H&I panel member came in, and today one of the people that were speaking, he's my sponsor today. You know, and that was many years ago, you know, and I'm grateful for H&I, and through this fellowship and working the program, I identify myself as, you know, learning from H&I while I was at Patuxent in the 12 years I did at that institution. Altogether, it was about 13 years altogether on a natural life. I'm not supposed to be here, you know. Natural life just means that I'm supposed to be dying in jail somewhere, and there's a higher power got to work into my life, and it's not the same higher power I had before I came to jail. But the one I have today is a blessing, you know. In August of 2000, I completed my Patuxent Institution program and went back into the front of the sentencing judge, because the judge that sentenced me was long gone after 13 years, and vacated my sentence to make me free, you know. And I tell you, there's nothing more rewarding. To get up here and speak is it's kind of nerve-wracking and nervous, but imagine fighting for your freedom each year in front of a parole board that really wants you dead. You know, they think you should be rotting away. And the thing I had to learn is not punish myself so bad for, you know, and to move on and to grow, you know. And I, if you're on the fence, you're not sure what to do, get involved, you know, because I'm glad I'm one of the ones that make it, that did make it. And I give it back. I got involved with H&I in the area, and I'm getting back involved with it now because I got away from it for a while. But I go to a facility where they have a treatment facility, and just I took a group of guys out to, you know, to a meeting, because they don't get out to H&I. They get to the other fellowship quite a bit because there's more volunteers for the other fellowship than it is for ours. And I couldn't have that because I needed that H&I education. I was one of the ones that hid in the other fellowship for several years because I was able to smoke that joint. As long as I didn't pick up that drink, I was cool. So I hid there for like 6 years. You know, when I come here, alcohol's a drug, and I can't do drugs and no alcohol. That's the best thing that happened, believe me. And if you're on the fence, you're not sure what to do, I mean, get involved, because you can save a life. And there is hope, believe me, to go from natural life to total freedom. There's definitely hope. I carried my message in Thursday before I came down here to the Howard County Detention Center. There was a group of 12 guys there. You know, and I told him, you know, I was your next-door neighbor for 12 years, right next door at Patuxent. You know, so I know what it's like. Been there and done that, you know. I don't have to do it anymore. And you guys helped save my life, and thanks.
Thank you.
All right, my name is Phil. I'm an addict.
Hey, First of all, I'd like to thank the God of my understanding for guiding me to this program in Narcotics Anonymous and putting you people in my life, because this program and you people saved my life, and for that I'm truly grateful. I'm the chairperson for H&I for the Almost Heaven area, which is in West Virginia. And I can remember when I, you know, in the different treatment programs that I've been in, there was always rules and regulations that I had to follow in order to stay in there. And I really didn't like that, you know, but I was there because I didn't have any place else to go and I had to do it. And in all those facilities, it was mandatory that you go to meetings, that you, you know, go to NA meetings. And most of the meetings consisted of newcomers. So, there, you know, it really wasn't a deep message being given. But when H&I showed up, you know, I really got interested in it because it was always somebody coming in, you know, that had accumulated some time that interested me and caught my attention, and I became attracted to them. So when I finally came around and made the decision to stay clean, and I started working the step process, my sponsor introduced me to the word service as being a spiritual principle as it relates to the program of Narcotics Anonymous, which means that, you know, for me, my gratitude shows when I care and I share it in a way, like when I share the message, and I'm so grateful for the program of Narcotics Anonymous that I'm willing to be in service to wait on, you know, the people in the program of Narcotics, have the doors open to come and give a message in whatever manner that service, you know, involves. And it's been very fulfilling to me. And the reason that I was really interested in being committed, because you hear, when you talk about H&I, you hear two words often, and that's commitment and service. And what I found out is that when I got involved in service and being involved in certain different subcommittees and area service and group conscious and so forth and so on, that there wasn't any rules and regulations. There was guidelines, you know, that we followed, which meant that my recovery is my responsibility. And if I wanted to do this thing, it was up to me to follow the guidelines that suggested in the traditions. And it became, you know, that was where my commitment was at. My first commitment was to myself. And then I was, you know, was willing to be committed to the program of Narcotics Anonymous because it helped me clean. And I was willing to do anything and everything necessary, you know, in order for me. Because I'm a self-centered, like you was talking about, self-centered, egotistical guy. And I have to do something to get outside myself. And the only way that I could do that is I have to, you know, give back. You know, I have to, you know, help. And it talks about in the literature, help another suffering addict, you know, without looking for anything in return. And the rewards that I get, is the possibility of reaching one addict, but the biggest reward that I get is I get better with me. Thanks for letting me share.
My name is Wesley. I'm an addict, and I want to thank the predecessors that came before me. The message of hope was brought to me by way of H&I when I was in Arlington Detention Center, 1992. And I'm forever grateful. That gave me the courage to try to do this thing. It took me 4 years to get 1 year, right? I got a sponsor. My sponsor suggested that I get on H&I. I've been on H&I now for 7 years. I've carried the same commitment for 6 years. And I want to thank my higher power for allowing me to be consistent in carrying that commitment. And a lot of times when I go in there, it doesn't go the way I wanted it to go. A lot of times I go in there, I'm tired because I have worked 9 hours, but I come out feeling better. So that's the benefit that I get. I go in there and I see me, and that helps me to stay here. And the payoff is when I see somebody on the street and they say, oh, I remember you. You brought a meeting in the Salvation Army, or you brought a meeting in the detox. That's the payoff for me. Thanks for letting me share.
My name is Sandra, and I'm an addict.
Hey,
and I probably have the best position in H&I now because I'm back to being just a good old panel member. And for an egomaniac like me, you know, H&I gives you the opportunity to be a panel member and then to be a panel chair. And it gives you the opportunity to think that you saved somebody or you said something that touched somebody and all of that. And what I sort of found was the fact that I could just show up. Because it wasn't about what I was saying. You know, I ain't listened to nobody's story when I got here. Your story don't keep me here. But I do believe that the fact that because I was able to just keep coming back, and I don't think that one Saturday a month and 4 days during the week is too much to give for the years that I've spent here in this program and what it's given me. So now it's not about, you know, me bringing the speaker in or chairing the meeting. I'm just a good old panel person who sits there to support. And that's the best thing that could have happened to me. And y'all can't run me out. You can't take my seat here. You can't tell me I got too many years to still be in service. You know, I've been in service for a long time. I'm like my friend had just said, I'm an H&I kind of guy. That's what I am. I'm an H&I kind of guy. And try it. To be here at this convention and have at least 25 women run up to you and ask you, do you remember them? You used to bring a meeting into the jail. They don't have a meeting at the jail no more. They don't have a meeting for women anymore because the jail don't have a program for women. But women, we do recover. We come out of jail and we can have a life. Thank you.
I want to thank everybody who shared, and my name's Kay, and I'm still an addict. I'm from the South Potomac area in Maryland, and I'm currently the secretary for our H&I committee. We have a small committee, so I was chairperson, vice chair, now I'm secretary. But I just think about how much H&I has done for me. I was not in treatment, so in the beginning it was difficult for me, not so much not to identify, but I didn't know how I was going to be accepted. But after keep coming back and to just opening up my mind and just knowing that I'm being of service, you know, I was able to, you know, really feel a part of. And then, of course, I knew that I was helping somebody. But most of all, I've been kept getting the help. I got into H&I when I had 7 months clean. I inherited my position from a friend who left the area, and I really didn't know what was going on. And then I started going every week. I still have this position. I'm 7 years clean now, and this is my service position for life. So if you're looking for a service position, I strongly advise you to get on H&I. We have a table down in the on the first floor next to PI. So if you're interested in signing up, there is a there's a sheet there for each area, and you can sign up. But I just can't stress enough about how much it has done for me. Are we out of time? Would we close in the usual manner? Okay. All right, we are going to close in our usual way, and we want to thank everybody for coming out.